Hey everybody, it's Ezzy. I'm here with my friend Matthew. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Doing good. So me and Matthew just did like the whole episode, and I realized that it was not recording. We had a pretty good talk though, and we're just gonna try to do it over for you guys. I know Matthew from church. We went to the same church for a couple of years. We haven't really connected until now when he watched some of my videos that I made on YouTube and he corrected me, actually. But ever since then, we've been going back and forth in our DMs, just talking about different topics. We have agreed and we also have disagreed, and we're also adult enough to be okay with that. I thought I'd bring him on because I respect his point of view. So this is going to be great. It's going to be really juicy. Really quick, Matthew, can you go ahead and introduce yourself one more time?
I'm Matthew, like she said. First and foremost, I'm a child of God. That's where my identity comes from. But I'm also a musician. So I play piano on Sundays for my church. I am a pilot in training for professional career.
I think that's really cool. So like I said, we both grew up in church, and church is like very near and dear to us. I have opinions about church, and so does he. So the first thing is this picture circulating around the internet. I think you explained it best. So can you explain what the picture is trying to, you know, say?
It's technically Noah's Ark, but it's pasted in place of Noah is Paul. And Paul's one of the apostles that really brought out the gospel to the Gentiles, which would be us. And he's looking at all the animals, and all the animals represent a different aspect of what is influencing the church right now. So he turns around and there's this animal that's basically a hybrid of all the animals there. And it's supposed to be representing what the church is today.
So let's break down those different things that the picture is saying makes up the church today. And how do you think that it affects the church? Starting with politics. I think that it's okay to somewhat include politics into church by just encouraging the people of God to be proactive, allow them to make their own decision, not impose their own personal preference on the people of God. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I agree. What the church seemed to have done is, I don't know if you've noticed it, but a lot of the Southern churches, they're saying, yeah, you got to vote for Trump. If you don't vote for Trump, you're not a child of God. And then even vice versa. How could you vote for Trump? He's such an animal, this, that, and the other. And that's not really what the church and the pastor is called to do. Now, yes, the pastor is a shepherd, so he's supposed to keep the flock safe, make sure they're making the right decisions. But at the end of the day with this, you're supposed to just be equipping the church with the right information so that they can make the decision to decide whether they will vote or not, and then let them choose who to vote for. Now, if you decided you wanted to hear the pastor's opinion, that's something you do privately, speak with the pastor. You shouldn't take up a whole, you shouldn't come on Sunday to want to worship God. All of a sudden, you better vote for this person. You better sign up for the blue or red. That's taken away from what you actually really go to church for.
Totally agree. You said in our episode before that out of all of these topics, moralism would be more so what should be included in the church, right? Do you want to talk a little bit more about that?
It's important to teach the right thing to do, but that's not the first and foremost focus when it comes to preaching the gospel. Because what Jesus said, go out and preach the gospel and baptize in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. That was his main mission for us. Now, once you're saved, once you're baptized, then yes, you start learning how to live right. But the first, number one, is being saved through faith.
I do think that they go hand in hand, your Christianity and moralism. For me, I think that moralism is important in the church because you can't lead others to Christ without it. Because people are looking at what you do. Live what you preach. Don't just talk about it. Be about it. And so that's important to me. Because I feel like the church is doing a lot of things that's not really on the moral side.
See what you mean? Yeah.
So The next topic there is worldliness. How do you think worldliness plays a part in church?
I mean, you got a few things that you can look at. So one of the first things I would mention is the type of music that you would incorporate into corporate worship. You don't need too many flashy things. All right. So the problem with worldliness is the focus on the outside man more so than the focus on the inside man, right? So like the outside man could vanish, but the inward man is what matters more. And if we start to feed the inward man, we'll begin to live more on the spiritual side than the fleshly side, right? It's just that worldliness causes your outward man to become an idol more so than God. That's the biggest thing.
I understand what you mean by that. Also with worldliness in church, before you was not able to listen to certain music, like secular music. And I think that now it's okay a little. Like if your church is having a barbecue or your church has a wedding or something, they'll play some music that's not from gospel artists and it's considered worldly. But I don't know that it is like a bad thing. You know what I mean?
What do you? It depends. It depends on one, the artist, in terms of what kind of message the artist is trying to push through the song. I usually listen to stuff depending on the message. When I say the message, like if the message is like, "Yo, go outside, smoke this, shoot somebody, turn around," I'm not gonna listen to it. Actually, no, the next person that touched me, I'm like, "Yo, what are you doing?" But I don't listen. Either that or if it has cursing in it, I don't either.
Right. Music definitely can alter your spirit, for sure. So you definitely have to be aware of what you're listening to. But I think we said that church should be a place where we honor God, we learn more about God. It should be all about God, period. But when we do have fellowship with our brothers, where we come together in love, we come together to enjoy each other, I think that's definitely a space where we can listen to an electric slide or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, why not? Like, it's... Of course, like how could, like those are stuff that you enjoy each other. That's family, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's totally okay with me. Not for like praise and worship, of course, but like for a family gathering, you know, church people become family. That's okay for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the next one is traditionalism. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
But I would just say that traditionalism can be both good and bad. And when it becomes bad is when people try to place a tradition to be the same place as word from God's mouth. For example, it's, "Oh, we've always done this, so therefore this is the way God wants it as well." It could also be bad when you want to introduce something new, like let's say the first time you want to introduce the live stream ministry to the church. They'd be like, "What? What? No, we don't do that. You got to come here on Sunday. But open the Bible, and that's it. If they don't come, you got to invite them and bring them." And that's where traditionalism gets really dangerous, because when you have something like Facebook and Instagram, whatever, you could reach thousands to millions more than when you're in the confines of four walls. And then even now with this pandemic, when Cuomo, or I guess we shouldn't say what state we're in, when Cuomo shut down everything, now what? Now you can't go inside the church, but because you said, "Oh, you can't use Facebook, you can't use Instagram, you can't live stream it," how are you going to bring the gospel to everybody? So that's where it becomes dangerous. And they're making it almost like it's equal to what God wants, but it's not necessarily what God wants.
Right.
So, I mean, if you wanted to say, like, dressing up for church might be as placed at the standard as if it's said in the Word of God, "You better wear a three-piece suit," then that's traditionalism.
Mm-hmm. The last topic on this specific picture is heresy. I didn't know what the heck that meant, but apparently it means, like, just lies, right?
anything that goes contrary to God and the word of God. Yeah. There's a few things that you could look at. One, Moses gave a very important warning before he died. And the leadership was passed on to Joshua. He said, if a prophet says something and it does not become true, they are not a true prophet of God. There was one time where, or actually there was countless times in the Old Testament where there were a bunch of prophets that, or prophets that would say whatever you wanted to hear, and you were able to pay them so that they could say whatever you want them to hear. And then when a real prophet came and said something that was against what those people said, people would get upset with the real prophet. One thing that you just have to be able to develop is discernment. And you develop that by reading the word of God. Jesus said there will be people that will come in my name that are lying. But one thing that you'll notice is that no prophet ever goes back over what they said. Once they say it, whether it pierces you, makes you want to beat up the prophet, they're bold so that they will stand exactly on what God told them. And that was it. Even if they ended up getting stoned, not weed stoned, but like physically. But a prophet will never switch back. God doesn't switch back. You know?
That's true. It also says you will know them by their fruits. But in the same way, God has used people that did not, their fruits were not so great. Like David. Well,
God never calls anybody who's already great. He always calls the unqualified, and he qualifies you and turns you into someone.
That's pretty good. That concludes that picture. I think we got down to the nitty gritty pretty well. The next topic we have is this picture you sent to me. It says, I just saw a picture of Christians in quotation marks, in Florida, who are trying to pray away a freaking hurricane. It is the dumbest thing I have ever seen, and proof that humans who believe in religion over science while the climate crisis destroys our world will be the downfall of the human race. Well, initially what my thoughts were was that I do believe that God is the God of the impossible. He's a God of miracles. I believe that when 2 and 3 are gathered in his name, he's there. I believe that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. I do believe that we have the power and the ability to stop storms. However, I do believe that we should use wisdom. We can pray as hard as we want, but if it's not God's will that this storm should pass away, you know, we will have to just accept that and do what we have to do to be safe. So a lot of people have really strong faith about being able to like stop whole pandemics and stop hurricanes. But I think that I would also take the side of precaution and do what I need to do to be safe and pray for God's grace if I can't stop the storm. So what do you think, Matthew?
So I would say the first question would be, why not pray? Just because God can do anything and it doesn't take anything from us to pray. There are circumstances where the answer is kind of like a duh. Like if I jump off this canyon and I say a prayer, is God going to catch me? We know, duh, he's not going to catch you, because even Jesus didn't jump off because he said, don't tempt the Lord your God. Now, if you accidentally fall off, that's a whole other story.
So you think that you know, we shouldn't tempt God?
Use wisdom to use the tools that God has given you. God usually does the miracles when there are no tools available. God is a miracle worker, God working God, and that's why we're able to go to him. A lot of the history in the Bible, a lot of those things were cases where those miracles were the only way. Like, for example, Gideon and his 300 against 30,000. You can't, there's no strategy with that. So you needed a miracle for that.
He's a miracle working God. I learned that from this is small, you know. I never knew that. So.
Yeah.
He's a miracle working God.
Stole it from my church.
You said what?
You stole it from the church.
Oh, you did?
A lot of the songs, yeah. But that's usually the case. Even the promises in Isaiah 53 or even in Mark, the last chapter of Mark, where it says, if you drink any deadly thing,
could trample on scorpions.
It's not that you get a snake and throw it on the floor and start doing the church dance on it. But if you end up in a room and a snake bites you,
basically, God is going to hold you down at the end of the day. I wanted to talk a little bit about, because I have opinions about speaking on other people, people's sins. My opinion is to worry about your damn self. Don't worry about the speck in someone else's eye when you have a whole needle in yours. And that's how I feel.
Truth is that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But no matter what happens, none of us will be perfect. At our best, we might sin less, but we will never be sinless. So one thing that we have to do is when Jesus was talking about like the toothpick in your eye, somebody's eye, when you have a log in yours, is that when you get rid of your log, you're able to see better and clearer to be able to actually help the person that might have the toothpick, like in an airplane. I know we weren't going to talk about aviation, but the safety briefings, they tell you if the masks come down, put the mask on you first and then turn to help others. Now, they're not saying don't put the mask on the other people. They're just saying put the mask on you first so that you have a flow of oxygen on you first, because at those altitudes, you could lose consciousness in a matter of seconds. So at the same time, your cognitive abilities also lessen. So the best thing to do is to make sure you're hooked up so that everything is functioning properly, so that you could perfectly help the person next to you. So at the end of the day, you still want to help your neighbors. You want to be able to help people and point them in the right direction. But there's a problem when you're deep in the waters and you're still trying to save somebody that's also deep in the waters as well. You got to finish your process to help others. Yeah. So that's all I got to say.
Yeah, I do agree. So I feel like this is so great. The second time was definitely a little bit more better than it was the first time. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, I was tripping.
Thank you so much, Matthew.
No problem.
I can't wait for us to talk again. Everybody, thank you for tuning in. We'll catch you guys on the next episode.